and especially the weather is tonight, with last week's emergency, we have completed half of the 28 bridges. Tonight we have done approximately about 7 surahs. The first surah that we recited is Surah Al-Hadid. Surah Al-Hadid literally means steel, iron ore. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created iron and steel also as a nikmat. Allah sent it down from the reception, from the very beginning of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created that within this earth. And there is another relationship between Surah Al-Hadid and this human being, besides the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has just mentioned iron or just mentioned steel in the Quran or in the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah, Allah talks about the difference between a believer and a hypocrite. And on the day of Qiyamah, what the scenario would be, that the believers will be told to enter Jannah which they will live in forever and forever, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala briefly describes as Jannah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the plight of those who have hypocrisy in their heart. That they will see that the believers are rushing towards their Jannah, and these people whose iman, they have feigned iman, in other words, their iman has not been, has not been genuine, they will follow these believers. And they would want to also enter Jannah, just like how these believers are entering Jannah. And suddenly there will be an obstacle placed between them, or rather, there will be like a veil placed between them and believers. And they will say unto the believers that, give us some part of your nur, the nur that you have, the light that we have. Naqtabis min nurikum. We want just a part of your nur. And it will be said to them that, no, if you want nur, go back. But of course, this, they cannot go back to the world. So they will have to turn back from where they were standing, or where they had run to, or where they had rushed to. And when they will turn back in front of them, they will just see the fire of Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then it will be said to them, فَالْيَوْمَ لَا يُؤْخَذُ مِنْكُمْ فِدْيَةٌ وَلَا مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Prior to that, Allah Ta'ala says that فَضُرِبَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِسُورٍ لَهُ بَاطِنُهُ فِيهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. The inner part of that door will be mercy, because believers will be facing the inner part of that door. The outer part of that door will be facing the hypocrites. يُنَادُونَهُمْ أَلَمْ نَكُمْ مَعَكُمْ. When they will see that Jahannam is in front of them and they have no way out, they will turn around and call to the believers and say, were we not one of you? We read Salah also with you. We were one of you. We regarded ourselves as one of you. قَالُوا, it will be said to them, أَلَمْ نَكُمْ, they will يُنَادُونَهُمْ أَلَمْ نَكُمْ مَعَكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَا وَلَكِنَّكُمْ. It will be replied to them that indeed, yes, possibly you regarded yourself as one of the believers. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ فَتَنْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. However, you allowed yourself to fall into utter corruption. فَتَنْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَتَرَبَّسْتُمْ. And you doubted, you waited, you said, let me see, I don't think this is true. Let me just carry on, see, if it is true, probably I'll follow it. Let me wait and see. You never were forward enough to say, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to do something, run forward, rush forward, and go out and enact it or bring it into your life. وَتَرَبَّسْتُمْ وَتَّبْتُمْ. And you had doubts in you. وَغَرَّتْكُمُ الْأَمَانِيُّ. And your high aspirations led you astray. وَغَرَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. And Shaytan, who is the greatest deceiver, he had led you astray. Then my respected brothers and sisters, just after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala paints the scenario, which is quite a horrifying scenario of what would happen to a munafiq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals a verse. And this is a verse calling out to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That has the time not come, O believer, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to us, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ. يَأْنِ, this is from the word time. Time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing time. Allah says, has the time not arrived? Has the time not arrived for you, O believer? أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ. If you're a believer, has the time not come that your heart will fall in complete subservience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Your heart would tremble out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is it not time now? Like we would say, is it not time now that at least now you wake up? Now you wake up. And you devote your heart towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Takhsha'a means your heart is overcome with the trembling. Your heart is overcome with the awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With the awe of the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As well as how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all powerful on punishing us too. As well as He is all powerful in completely forgiving us too. So takhsha'a qulubuhum li dhikrillah. You are in complete awe. Takhsha'a actually is a state where a person becomes
momentarily we're so surprised that the person is frozen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that your heart, is it not time that your heart has this complete change of direction and your heart is now completely focused upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a moment? Or has the moment not occurred where your heart can turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. For the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed from amongst that which is truth. وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. And do not be like the people of the book prior to you, that they waited and they said, probably there'll be some time. One day I'll change. One day I'll change. Like the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said, let us just kill Yusuf alayhi salam and later we'll become good. This is deception. So later will change. This is not the time. I've got a lot of time upon me. Qala alayhimul amadu. But later and later never came, because his heart became faqasat qulubukum. His heart became hardened. And once his heart became hardened, then nothing good can penetrate his heart. Now my spiritual is another, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to completely turn in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in subservience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I mentioned the story before of Hudayl bin Iyad rahmatullahi. He was a highway robber, he was a looter, a plunderer, and there was not a single city or little village around his area which would not tremble out of fear for him, because he would come and just loot and ransack these villages. And one day he came in and he ransacked this particular village, and all the people ran out of the village. All the people ran out. But there was one girl who was left behind. And she was in her home and she was busy reciting the Quran. And Fudayl bin Iyad was on his horseback in all that pomp and pride and whatever, going through, like as if I own this place. I completely own this place. And as he walked past, he heard the sound of this girl. And this drew him closer. And he heard the sound of this girl reciting a verse. And when he came closer, this was the verse that she was reciting. أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Has the time not come for you, O Fudayl, so to say? It was like as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to him, O Fudayl, has the time not come for you that you also drop in complete submission for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Said he stood on his horse, he was on his horse, and then he fell down. And he said, Oh Allah, the time has come. And he fell down in prostration, in sajda. And he said, Oh Allah, I will change my life from now on. And he changed his life so much that he became, in fact, eventually he became the teacher of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah. So my respected brothers and sisters, the message in this ayah is of khushu. And khushu is a kind of a feeling where a person is frozen out of awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also a person is overcome with humility. Now respected brothers and sisters, humility and having humbleness in us, this is an intrinsic, it's a vital ingredient for a believer. It's a vital ingredient, and humility and humbleness is, my respected brothers and sisters, what goes together with a believer. A believer and humbleness, this goes together. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a person who has even an iota worth of pride in his heart, arrogance in their heart, pride in their heart, such a person will not even smell the fragrance of Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat is beckoning us to become humble for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To become humble by thinking, because why does a person actually feel proud? A person feels proud because we feel we are superior to somebody else. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to reflect. And if at a moment in your life, if we feel that I am superior, then Allah ta'ala wants us to reflect and think that the Allah who is above you, and the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has created you, and whose power is above you, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, think about him, and then you will realize that you are to be humble, and you have much to be humble for also. You have basically nothing with you. You are absolutely an absolute nonentity. That's what you are. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to become humble. And humbleness, my respected brothers and brothers, let's take the other side of the spectrum. Pride enters into a person for various reasons. Pride enters into a person due to wealth, due to the acquisition of wealth. Pride enters into a person due to position also. Pride enters into a person many a times, not just because of worldly things, but sometimes even because of Islamic and because of deen, because of Islam. This very same Islam which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us in order to make us humble, this very Islam which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us in order to show us that to strike a dichotomy between us and Iblis, to show that Iblis actually was the one who, he knew, Iblis knew everything, but it was pride which made him deny. It was pride which made him refuse to fall into sajda. Because Allah Ta'ala says, Istakbara wa kana min al-kafirin. Iblis, the reason behind Iblis refusing to do sajda was his pride. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this deen which I have given you, and this deen which is actually there so that it can humble us, my respected brothers and brothers, unfortunately, this deen now becomes a reason for a person to show their pride and their arrogance. And this creeps into us, particularly when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a moment in our life where we begin to change our life. We begin to change our life for the better. Alhamdulillah, we come to the masjid, we become very religious. In the month of Ramadan also, alhamdulillah, we begin to do good things, and alhamdulillah, Allah gives us the tawfiq. And after that tawfiq Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, suddenly there is like an elated feeling, which one is good to be happy about that. It's good to be happy about, you know, about the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has changed us. But there is this kind of superiority feeling. And therefore when we pass upon others who maybe were in the very same state that we were just a couple of years ago, or just a couple of months ago, or a few days ago, respected brothers and sisters, we look down upon such people. We look down upon them. And we start ridiculing them. And sometimes we utter remarks with regard to them. And then there is another type of arrogance which comes into us. And particularly those who pursue knowledge. And those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us change from one place where we were at some point. We were probably in university, down in the doldrums in university and wherever else, completely far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We maybe get involved with some kind of a Muslim group or whatever that may bring some kind of change into us. We learn a few aspects of deen. We learn a few hadith from Google. We listen to a few programs on YouTube. And then my respected brothers and sisters, that pride gets into us, which is actually deen. We are prompted by deen. But the deen makes us become so bloated about ourselves, that easily a person says, Imam Abu Hanifa. I don't think Imam Abu Hanifa really knows what he said. He doesn't know much. Or a person utters things with regard to some great scholars of the past. Oh, these scholars, I don't really agree. Who are you? I don't really agree with that scholar. You are not even in that position to even utter that scholar's name, so to say. Somebody who has, you know, of the past, some great predecessor of the past, or for that matter, even people of present time. We stand behind an imam probably. We listen to tajweed. We went to a few classes of basic tajweed, and we come out, absolute rubbish tajweed. But actually, brothers, you should repeat your salah. That's what gets into us. And this is a message particularly for those who have, we do a few words of Arabic, a few classes of Arabic, and that few classes of Arabic bloats us up so much that my respected elders and brothers, this is a hadith, this hadith is da'if, the hadith is weak, this is like this, and this, and you know, we just go on, fatwas upon fatwas, and sometimes even to the extent that we pass the fatwa of kufr upon somebody, this so and so, this is kafir, this is absolutely mushrik, this is shirk, this is bid'ah, this is that. This is not in hadith. Respected elders and brothers, this is because we would like, just like prior to this condition of ours, there was a time when we were probably in our own circles, before Allah Ta'ala gave us hidayah, and we were in those circles, and we probably ruled those circles. We were probably the main person of the gang, for example, and everybody listened to whatever we said. Now when we come into deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about a change into our life. As we come into deen, we want to have the very same aura about ourselves. So we're busy dictating to people, just like how previously we dictated, this is what we're going to do, this is who we're going to take out, this is who we're going to sort out. Now this is exactly the same we're doing. You just listen to me, don't listen to them. Don't listen to any Hanafi fiqh channel. Don't listen to this here. Don't listen to any Imam Shah. Who is he? Don't listen to me, I'll tell it to you. I saw it the hard way. And we hear this again and again. And my respected elders and brothers, this stems actually from, you see, knowledge. Knowledge doesn't come through information. Knowledge is not information. Al-ilmu bi-ta'allum. The narration is in Al-Majal al-Rabi. Knowledge comes with heart-to-heart learning. Heart-to-heart learning. A person learns from a teacher, that is knowledge. Even if it is little bit, but it is knowledge. Anything beyond that, you can have hordes of hadith in your head, and you can have hordes of Quranic verses in your head, but my respected elders and brothers, that is only information. Knowledge is something which the definition of knowledge according to the ulama is, Nurun, huwa nurun, yulqihi Allahu fi qalbi imri'in min ibadihi min yasha. Knowledge is actually a nur which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places in the heart of any such servant whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes. So Allah ta'ala save us from arrogance. Arrogance sometimes overcomes us, and when arrogance overcomes us, my respected elders and brothers, we are in fact stepping on the same footsteps of Shaytan. But nonetheless, there is still hope for us. If that is our circumstance, if that's what we feel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, immediately after this verse, Allah ta'ala says that has the time not come that you can submit yourself in complete, in complete humility for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then just thereafter, Allah ta'ala says, يَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. If you really have a desire, if you really have a desire to change, then no worries at all. If you feel that this is my circumstance now, that I am, you know, I think this kind of arrogance where I walk with my nose in the air and I sort of pass remarks, I think this is my condition now, and I think I need to change, and I really feel that I need to change, then Allah Ta'ala says, immediately after this, Allah says, اِعْلَمُ know for sure, أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who grants life to a dead earth, to an earth after it has died. So this, after this land has died, after the land is absolutely barren and there's nothing that can grow on that land, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can give life again to that land. So if we are in a state where arrogance has stepped into us, because in this verse Allah ta'ala says, due to arrogance, فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Look at the people of the past, their hearts became hard. Arrogance makes a person's heart hard. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Ash-Shura that وَمَا تَفَرَّقُوا إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْعِلْمُ بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ. That they started creating, the people of the past, the nations of the past, they started creating dissension within their own sector. They started creating dissension after knowledge came down upon them. And why did they do that? Purely out of enmity and because out of hasad. Out of enmity and out of hasad. So this was the reason why knowledge came down to them, and after knowledge came down to them, they started splitting up, dissenting, you know, causing dissension. They are them and us, you know, so and so, we are on the right path, they are deviant, they are on the wrong path, they are whatever. And doing that, their hearts became hard. Now Allah Ta'ala says, if your heart has become hard, there's still a chance for you. Because like how a barren piece of land, nothing can grow on it, but when Allah decides, water will come down, and that water will shower upon that land, and soon things begin to grow. And when those things begin to grow, it becomes once again lush and green. So if you have a desire, if we truly have a desire, that, oh Allah, my heart has become hard due to arrogance, whether that arrogance is because of knowledge, because of deen knowledge, or whether that arrogance is because of my position, whether that arrogance, you see, Shaitan was not out. He was not out there trying to, supersede or trying to go ahead of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam in terms of wealth. He didn't say to Allah, "Oh Allah, you gave Adam alayhi salam so much of money. Why didn't you give me?" It was not money was not the issue. Position was the issue. Position. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Oh Allah, how can asjudu liman khalaqta tina? Oh Allah, how should I? Why should I go down? You know, I'm much more superior. Ana khayrun minhu. I'm much more superior." So it was position, it was this ego. And this ego made Shaitan, eventually istakbara wa kana min al-kafirin, refused to do sajda. So my respected Ahlul Sunnah, that is, if that arrogance, due to that arrogance, his heart has become hard. And this heart has become so hard that if nothing good now begins to penetrate. But because of the month of Ramadan, we've come here, and maybe we've realized that we've erred in our life. I've realized that I've erred in my life. And I need to soften this heart of mine. Then my respected Ahlul Sunnah, Allah Ta'ala says, remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can shower that rain upon your heart. And if you are willing for it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make that heart once again lush and green. But if we don't, then remember, what's the name of the surah? The name of the surah is Surah Al-Hadid. If we don't, then the similarity with our heart just being like a rock, that similarity ends, and your heart will now, a person's heart will now become like steel. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَصْدَعُ كَمَا يَصْدَعُ الْحَدِيدِ. This heart will begin to rust also, just like how steel rusts. And once that erosion and that corrosion begins, then especially that is very difficult to undo that. So Allah Ta'ala, by means of the surah, is reminding us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, don't let your heart become like steel and begin to rust. And soften that heart of yours. And if you wish to soften that heart, then my respected Ahlul Sunnah, Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, learn to cry. And if you cannot cry, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَتَبَاكِ, then at least imitate somebody who's crying. In front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just cry to Allah. And if you cannot cry, then at least imitate somebody who cries. And in that way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will soon soften the heart. Another thing which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عَلَيْكُمْ بِتِلَاوَةِ الْقُرْآنِ وَذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Hold steadfast unto the remembrance of Allah. Sit back sometime in the masjid. Dhikr of Allah is not just remembering Allah as in Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. But sit back and think and say Alhamdulillah for a moment. All praises, all thanks, all credit only should go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not worthy of any credit. I'm not worthy of any praise. I'm not worthy of anything whatsoever. If I did anything also, if I said something well and somebody came to me and said, MashaAllah, what a good speech. Then I say, Alhamdulillah, what you've actually told me is not, you know, that's not actually that's supposed to be said to me. Or if I did anything good, any good turn I did in the month of Ramadan, somebody said, oh, MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah. They said, Alhamdulillah. You know, or they came and they said, very good. No, I should say, Alhamdulillah. It is actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Credit actually doesn't go to me. Credit goes to my Creator. The Creator. Now sometimes somebody comes and pats us on the back and says, inshallah, I did well. I said, Alhamdulillah. But I say that Alhamdulillah, at least you're praising me. That's not the way. Actually, Alhamdulillah, all praise, all credit goes to Allah, not to me absolutely. I'm not worthy of this praise. Allah is worthy of this praise. So even, you know, one is to do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100 times, or the third kalima 100 times, istighfar 100 times, durood, that is great, do that also. But sometimes, and do try this, like I say, do try this at home. Sit back, and instead of reading 100 times the third kalima, read it 10 times. Or for that matter, read it just 3 times. Or if you cannot, read it just once. And ponder over every word that you are saying. When you say Subhanallah, then say, actually, what am I saying? I'm saying Allah is absolutely perfect and I'm completely imperfect. When we say Subhanallah, we are not glory be to Allah, that's the translation. But actually, the meaning of Subhanallah is to say that, oh Allah, you are absolutely perfect. There is no blemish, no tarnish, you are not resembling anyone. You are absolutely perfect from any kind of imperfection. And I am full of imperfection. So when I say Subhanallah, Allah, you are absolutely perfect. Alhamdulillah, all praises are only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All credit goes only to Allah. My sitting here today, remembering you, Allah, is also only because of your tawfiq. Everything, my uttering of this word, imagine we uttered Alhamdulillah. Did we ever think this word Alhamdulillah? Some of the scholars say that Hamdun is made up of a ha, a meem, and a dal. And all Arabic letters, they emit from 3 places of origination, 3 places of articulation. They either emit from the throat, they are called huruf halqi, or they emit from the inside of the mouth, or they emit from the lips, and they are called huruf shafawiyya. Alright? So any Arabic letter, it is either pronounced from the throat, or it is either pronounced from the inside of the mouth, which is the tongue and the teeth and the gum, or it is either pronounced from the lips. Alright? And they are called huruf shafawiyya. Now, in this word hamd, when we said hamd, there is a huruf halqi. We have pronounced a letter from the throat, ha. And we pronounce meem, and that meem is from our lips. And we pronounce dal, and that is from the inside of our mouth. In other words, we are saying to Allah, oh Allah, this mouth that you gave me, which is a form of articulating any letter or any sound, even this mouth here, every aspect of this mouth is used only to praise you. Alhamdulillah. When we say Alhamdulillah, consider, think for a moment that way, inshallah. And then my respected brothers and sisters, that we will be moved with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the same surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us such a beautiful verse, short, concise, and a synopsis of our entire life. I'm just going to read this verse. This verse is verse 21, and look at verse 20 and verse 21. In verse 20, Allah Ta'ala says, I'lamu, in other words, to draw our attention, behold carefully. This is an example which Allah has given. Innama al-hayatu dunya la'ibun. What is your worldly life? This is an entire synopsis of our whole life. Our whole life. Your worldly life is la'ibun wa lahun. This is Imam Razi rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned this. Your life is playing. It is just playing. You are out there. That is the beginning of your life. You just think of a little child. What does a child do? Besides eating and drinking, the child just plays. A little infant, a little toddler, that is what the child does. Just plays around. And then after that, a certain time comes, when the playing ends, that little playing, which is absolutely of no use, truly, but the child regards that playing as its be-all and its end-all. But after that, that phase goes away, and the next phase begins, and the next phase is lahun. The next phase of our life is amusement. And we think that becomes our be-all and our end-all. Lahun, we go through a stage, and that also is a child. A child goes through that stage from the age of understanding, probably the age of 7 or so, up until maybe they enter their teens. They are busy in amusement. They are affected by amusement. They're laughing, they're giggling, or whatever else. They are amused with things. That is the second stage of our life. The third stage of our life. وَتَفَافُرُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ. Now we enter our teens. What does Allah say? That now you begin to show fakhr over one another. You show your greatness of awareness. A youngster enters his team, he looks in the mirror of his car, he looks in the mirror of the masjid, he comes in here fixing his hair up. Even while he's sitting here in itikaf also, go out to do wudu, come back, just put a little bit of water on my head extra so that the spice can be perfect. And we look in the masjid, we don't have a mirror around, so we probably look if the, you know, those masjid handles are burnished well, look in there. All right, looking in the car, mirror, rearview mirror. We spend, even boys today spend hours in front of a mirror. Before, it was never, you know, before, I mean, never heard of that. But even like, even boys today, young boys, you'll see them sitting for hours on end, you know, because their hair is not right, so they gel again, and whatever. Tafakurum bainakum. I got a sick haircut. And that's what you cross. That's when you come out. Tafakurum. So we're showing our superiority over others, or rather, it's vying with one another, competing with one another. But competing bainakum, with regard to ourselves. And then Allah Ta'ala says, a stage comes thereafter. Now you start working, you get a job. Then, takathurun fil amwali. Now you no longer compete only in your looks, but now we begin to compete in wealth, fil amwali. And this is such a perfect overview of our life. La'ibun wa lahmun wa zinatun wa tafakurun bainakum wa takathurun fil amwali. And then after that age passed, and after wealth, we've hoarded enough wealth, and we've accumulated enough wealth, and whatever else, you know, we've dispersed of enough wealth, we've lost enough wealth. Then after we pass that, then takathurun fil awladi. Then we begin, there's nothing more for us to really brag about ourselves or boast about ourselves, so we begin to boast about our kids. Then we say, oh, my son, mashallah, he just graduated from university. This is such a perfect overview in this ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about. But Allah ta'ala, then towards the end, what does Allah ta'ala says? The example of this is just like the example of a farmer. He plants a seed, then he pours water over there, and then that seed grows, and then it becomes a plantation. That plantation grows, eventually it is of some benefit. At every little aspect it is of some benefit. But then eventually it is cut down. It is cut down. And the next day, after he has harvested his crop and he comes back into his field, it is like nothing remains. So Allah Ta'ala says, exactly is your life also. You think this is important for you, and you think this is important, and you think this is important. Until the real harvester comes, and the real harvester is Malakul Maut. And then he takes your life away. And then when you look back and you look at this life, you say, there's really nothing there. And then Allah Ta'ala ends this ayah to something. Allah Ta'ala says, وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. And then you left in the akhirah, you have a barren land in front of you. Back to square one, as we would say. Back to square one. But in that akhirat, adabun shadeed. There is the possibility of a very severe punishment. Allah Ta'ala save us all. But Allah Ta'ala follows it up. Never has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only instilled fear in us. But after that, what does Allah Ta'ala say? وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ. وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. The forgiveness of Allah also is in the akhirat. وَرِضْوَانٌ, and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my respected brothers and brothers, that is what a Muslim really should aspire for. Aspire that we'll work in this in every phase of our life. You see, our life is just an amusement. In some stage of our life, it's just an amusement. The real life is, like we mentioned before, وَإِنَّ دَارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيْوَانِ. Then these eyes of ours